We are thrilled that you joined us today. The message you're about to hear is filled with the life-changing power of God's Word. We would love for you to share with us how God has impacted your life through this message. Visit us at riverrochester.com or attend any of our services at the River Church in Brockport, New York. Thanks again for joining us, and we hope that you enjoy today's message.
How many of you guys were here last week and heard that message on faith? Man, I'm telling you, today is just going to be even better, all right? Even though if you missed last week, go back and listen to that because last week was good, but today is going to be even better. And guess what? Next week is going to be even better than that. And the week after that, even better, because God always has something better. He's always moving forward. Amen. So we did discuss, though, last week that in Romans chapter 12 and verse 3, that God has dealt to every man a measure of faith. You don't have to pray and ask God, God, give me faith. He's already given you faith. It's just a matter of learning how to put that faith to work for you, and it's a matter of learning how do we strengthen the faith that we have to be able to use it, to be able to use it more beneficially to us. And today, everybody here is going to receive an opportunity to put their faith in Almighty God. You're going to have an opportunity to come and make Jesus the Lord of your life, all right? Romans chapter 1 and verse 17 says that the just shall live by faith. That's instructions from Almighty to God, is that we are to walk and live in faith. It's not just meant to be a sporadic thing that when we're in trouble, we decide to believe God for something. No, we're meant to live by faith. We're meant to walk in faith, that wherever we are, that faith will be showing forth in our lives. Now, I already probably touched on this a little bit last week, but today I want to go into more detail about what is faith. Now, that seems like a pretty basic question. Most people here would probably say, oh, I know what faith is, all right? And you probably do to an extent, but I believe that through God's word that we're going to see even more clearly what faith is. Now, how many of you guys would lift your hands and say that I've heard you preach about faith before? All right, and how many of you would say that I've at least heard somebody else preach about faith before? All right, now, real quick, I'm going to read from you Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, because I believe this will help those of you who've already heard faith and maybe heard hundreds of sermons already on faith not to want to check out this morning and think, well, I already know all about faith, so let's just wait for something else to come up. Romans 10 and verse 17 says, so then faith comes by hearing, comma, and hearing by the word of God. Now, you know in the original text that the translator translated the scriptures from, there was no punctuation in the scripture, no periods and no commas, right? So here you see, so then faith comes by hearing, comma. So that means the translators, when they read this, they thought that it was fitting to put that comma there. Well, I mean, the translators, they're not like infallible like the Holy Spirit, like they couldn't make an error that when the Holy Spirit inspired the writers to write this, these guys hopefully got most of the translating right. But I don't believe that the comma is necessarily essential to the scripture, so let's just do this. Let's move the comma just for a moment and see if this changes our perspective on the scripture. You see, it says, so then faith comes by hearing, comma, and hearing by the word of God. Let's move that comma to the end of the second time where it says hearing. And let's hear how this sounds. So then faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So then faith comes by hearing and hearing. Sometimes you got to hear something not once, not twice, not 20 times. You might have to hear it 21 times. And sometimes that you can sit and hear a message about faith over and over and over again, and then finally something just happens in your spirit where it clicks. So this morning, if you've heard many messages on faith, I don't want you to tune out, but I want you to reach out with your spirit and grab hold of this message on what faith is. Because as you learn about faith, I promise you, I've listened to messages about what faith is hundreds of times. And I still, every time I listen to messages on it, I think to myself, what can I learn about faith? Because the Bible says that we are to live by faith. And if the Bible says we're to live by it, then I better know what it is, right? All right, now James verse 1:22 says, But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, immediately forgets what kind of man he is. Man he was. If we're just coming and listening to a message, and then we leave here and think to ourselves, that was a nice message. Man, I'm going to go home. I feel good about myself. And then do nothing about the word that we hear, then we're just like this scripture says, that we're looking into a mirror and then we go away forgetting what we are. But when we hear a message on faith, man, it should do something on the inside of us and cause me to feel like I need to use my faith. I need to do something with my faith to change my circumstances, to change this world, to change the world that we live in. It's not just about coming and hearing a message. Even if you've heard a message on faith many times, it's about having your faith be built and then taking that faith and using it for action. To do something. To see your life changed. To see your family's life changed. To see this world changed. Amen? So grab hold of this message on faith this morning. Hebrews chapter 11, turn there with me. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. I'm going to read this scripture in the Amplified translation. It just really brings it out. Now, faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of the things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see and the conviction of their reality, faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. I'm going to read that last section again. Faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. So to begin by describing what faith is, I want to describe what faith isn't. Because sometimes you can actually figure out what something is by just talking about what it isn't, right? You can try it sometime. All right. So faith, from this scripture here, we see is not hope. Faith is not hope. Now, I'm not going to detract from hope because hope is good. Hope is beneficial. We need hope. But you have to understand that hope is not faith. Hope, let's use another word for hope. Let's call it desire, okay? Something that we are desiring or hoping for, okay? And you might have many of those. You might have many desires or things that you're hoping for. You might be hoping for a spouse. You might be hoping for a better job. You might be hoping for a better relationship. You might be hoping and desiring for a healing in your body or the salvation of a lost loved one. There's many things that we can hope for. We can hope for joy. We can hope for peace. We can hope for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We can hope that God would reveal his plan to our life so that I know exactly what I'm called to do. You see, there's many things that we can hope for and actually desire, and that's all good. But you can hope for something and desire something your whole life and not get it. So we have to figure out what is the key to actually getting what we're hoping for. Now, you could hope for something, and maybe by chance, or maybe because somebody knows that you're hoping for it, maybe they just decide that they're going to give it to you. I mean, in Bible school, we were instructed not to use faith with hints. Like, you see somebody's watch, and you're like, man, I just love that watch. Next time you see them, hey, that watch looks so good. Do you care if I just try it on real quick? And then the next time you see them, man, I just love your watch so much. And you just keep on saying it, hinting at like, hey, give me your watch. All right, that's faith with hints, all right? And you might get people to actually give things. You might get something just out of time or just by out of chance. If you wait long enough, the thing that you hope for might actually come to pass. You might bring something about that you're hoping for through the arm of the flesh, through your own ability, okay? But if we want to see God give us something, if we want to see God working in our life through faith, then that's what it requires. It requires not just hoping for something, it requires us doing something. Faith is always action. Hope doesn't require any action. Hope, it's just a desire. It's just something that's there. But faith is actually doing or saying something. Yet, hope is absolutely necessary. Because without hope, Without desiring something, we wouldn't ever get that thing. Or at least we wouldn't get it from God. I'm not talking about getting things the natural way. You know, just going to your job and working and getting a paycheck and then being able to go out and buy what you want. That requires no faith. I'm talking about how do we get something that's absolutely impossible in the eyes of man? How do we get something, a healing in our body? And I'm not talking about using natural medicine that doctors give you. Though there is a place for that, and I'm not saying don't do that or use that route. I'm saying that there is a way to get something that in the natural, in this world, people will tell you that it's impossible to have, and the way that we get that is through using our faith. So we need to have the hope and the desire, though, before we get it. For example, you wouldn't have gotten saved from your sins if you didn't hope and desire to be saved from your sins, right? There's absolutely no way to do it. If you don't want to be saved from your sins, if you don't want to go to heaven, do you think that you're going to go to heaven? The Bible says that there is one name whereby man must be saved, the name of Jesus Christ. So if I don't want that in my life, if I'm not hoping for it, well then, do you think God is just going to give it to me? Absolutely not. So that means we must hope and desire for something in order for God to give it to us. So we have to realize that we do need to hope for things. We do need to have a desire for something. And there's nothing wrong with that. But realize that as long as you stay in the realm of hope and the realm of desire, that God will actually not bring it to you. So hope is good. I'm not saying it's bad. But hope in itself will not move God on your behalf. You see, in verse 6 of Hebrews 11, it says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him." We must come to God and believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. We have to come to God believing. Believing is where faith starts. Faith is believing in God, but even just believing in God doesn't actually do it for you. There has to be corresponding action to what you believe. Let me give you an example of how you can figure this out and how you can realize that hope doesn't really get people anything. You can go to the Walmart parking lot this afternoon and go around praying for people to receive a physical miracle in their body. Find someone that's sick and say, "I would love to pray for you." And you pray for them and afterwards ask them if they got it. And they'll probably, I've heard this happen so many times, they'll say, "I hope so. I sure hope so." It happens in church. People come forward for the answer to the altar call. "Did you get what you came for?" "I hope so." As long as you stay in the realm of hope, God is not able to move on your behalf. So we have to figure out how do we get out of hoping for something, out of desiring something, and actually seeing it come to pass through faith. If I went up to somebody in the Walmart parking lot and told them about how good Jesus is, and they decide, "Man, I want that. I want to be free from the weight of sin. I want to have God working in my life. I want to know that I'm going to heaven." And then I tell them how to get saved. And I say, "Pray this prayer after me." And then I ask them, "Are you saved?" And they say, "I don't know. I hope so." I don't want to put my life, my eternal salvation, in a hope and in a prayer. I want to know for sure, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that I am saved. And you can have that. In Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 22, it talks about approaching Jesus boldly through the assurance of faith. You see, there's an assurance that comes when we have faith. You no longer have to question, "God, am I saved? God, do you love me? God, what's your plan for me?" Man, you can absolutely know. And it's through faith. Next, we see from this scripture that faith is, there is a tense to it. Is it past, is it present, or is it future? Let's read the beginning, the first three words of this sentence. Now, faith is. So if you didn't get it the first time in the first word where it says now, you can get it in the third word where it says is. Both of those are present tense words. Now, faith is. I want you to say that with me and enunciate the word now and enunciate the word is. Now, faith is. Right? Okay. I mean, that's Bible. So the faith is in present tense, present tense, not future tense. And this, unfortunately, is where so many people are defeated in walking in faith, is they're always putting what they're believing for off into the future. I believe God will heal me. I believe that God will do this. I believe that God wants to do this for me. As long as you stay in that realm, and even though it sounds perfectly Christian today, and it sounds perfectly good, and chances are the Christians that you grew up with say that kind of stuff all the time. I believe that God will heal me. I'm believing for my healing. I'm believing that God will do this. Probably most of the people that you hear talking about faith are saying that. But that is a future tense. And what tense is faith? Now, right? I'm glad one of you heard that. Faith is when?
Now.
You have to believe God for something now. I have it now. Even despite impossible circumstances. And in a minute here, I'm going to give you a couple examples from the Bible. I can give you personal examples in my life, but I feel like you can't base your faith off of Pastor Jeremiah's personal experiences. But you can base your faith off the Word of God because faith comes by what? Hearing what? And hearing by the Word of God. That's right. So we're going to get into a couple examples here. But like I said, hope sounds good to most Christians. I mean, you wouldn't get in trouble in a church by saying, I believe that God wants to heal all of you. I believe that God will heal me one day. But that is not faith, and it will not move heaven on your behalf. And it sounds right in your mind, it sounds normal, it sounds like faith, but it's not. Faith says that you have it before it exists to your senses. All right, let's go back up to the end. If you have an amplified version, you can read this with me. If not, just listen. But it says there, faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. Faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. So that means it looks like it's not actually there. But according to faith, it is there. Which means faith is not based on your circumstances that you're experiencing. So if you're waiting for your experience, your circumstance to change, and then change your confession, then that's not faith. If you're waiting for the pain to go away before you're willing to say, I am healed by his stripes, that's not faith. That's knowledge. And knowledge is not faith, but our minds, the way we're trained by this world since the day we're born, is to operate by knowledge, by our senses, by what our mind experiences through our natural senses. But if we want to operate in the realm of God, then we have to learn how to operate in the realm of the impossible, which is through faith. So, since faith isn't based on your circumstances, you might see everything going wrong. You might be a God-loving Christian. You confess Jesus as your Lord, and yet circumstances might be going against you. It might seem like the odds are stacked up against me. But you don't care because you know what God's word says. And you believe that more than you believe your situation. You see, that's where we have to come to the point of operating in faith, is that my faith is in God's word, not in my circumstances. If I'm experiencing one thing that doesn't look like God's word, well, I don't care because I'm just going to keep confessing and believing God's word. How do we get saved? Through what? Confession and what? And believing. We confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, and we believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead. That's how we get saved. So even though you can have the belief in your heart, it's not until you put that action to it that you'll see something change. Now, faith is now, and I want to show you that from a couple examples. Matthew chapter 8 and verse 5, it says, "Now, when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, pleading with him, saying, 'Lord, my servant is at home, paralyzed, dreadfully tormented.'" Verse 13 says, this is after the centurion, Jesus actually said that, "I'll come with you and I'll heal him." But the man responds and he says, "I'm not even worthy for you to come under my roof. You don't have to come. Just say the word and my servant will be healed." And Jesus responds with saying that, "I have not seen such great faith in all of Israel." And in verse 13, it picks up saying, "Then Jesus said to the centurion, 'Go your way, and as you have believed, so let it be done for you.' And his servant was healed that same hour." All right, go your way, and as you have believed, so let it be done for you. And what was done for him? His servant was healed when? That same hour. So when was faith? Now. You see, Jesus said, whatever you're believing, that's what you'll have. And it clearly shows what he must have been believing, because his servant was healed that same hour. Now, the servant was paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. And actually, if you look up that story in Luke, it says, "who was dear to him and was sick and ready to die." He's paralyzed, sick, and ready to die. Wouldn't we call that an impossible circumstance to recover from? How many people that you know in their natural ability that are paralyzed, sick, and ready to die, just get up totally healed? Probably not too many. In fact, I've never heard of it happening to anyone without having faith in God. And so this was a total impossible situation, an impossible circumstance. But faith is not based on what you see, right? It's based on what we believe and what we do about that belief. And Jesus here, he told him, "As you believe," that same hour the servant was healed. So the centurion must have been believing for it. He must have been believing for that miracle to happen now. Next, let's look at Matthew chapter 9 and verse 28. It says, "And when he had come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said to them, 'Do you believe that I am able to do this?' And they said to him, 'Yes, Lord.'" Which, I mean, who doesn't believe that God is able to heal, right? Of course, if Jesus walked up to you and said, "I believe that you're able to heal me," sure. You'd be silly not to believe that Jesus wouldn't be able to heal you. It says, "Then he touched their eyes, saying, 'According to my faith, let it be done to you.'" And their eyes were opened, right? Are you guys following along with me? All right. It doesn't actually say, "According to my faith, let it be done to you." It says, "According to your faith, let it be done to you." So we would think that that miracle of two blind men receiving their sight would be based on Jesus' faith, because he's the Son of God walking around. Of course, he's full of faith, right? Wouldn't you expect him to say, "Based on my faith, receive what you believe"? That's not what he said, though. Whose faith was it? The two blind men. "According to your faith, let it be done for you." And when did they receive sight? Now. And their eyes were open. That means they received it when they believed. And then they actually took action. You see, if you're blind, has anyone ever seen a blind person before? Yeah, they can still open their eyelids, right? Okay? So just because they're blind doesn't mean that they had to have their eyes shut. Them putting their faith to action was them opening their eyes, actually doing something that beforehand they knew was going to be totally fruitless, because I've opened my eyelids a million times and I've never been able to see. But now, as Jesus said, "According to your faith, according to your faith, let it be to you," they open their eyes and poof, they can see. That's why sometimes when people come for prayer and I pray for people, I say, "Do what you couldn't do before." Because before, these people, they couldn't see. two blind men. Absolutely pointless for them to open their eyes. But when they put their belief in the Word of God, when they put their belief in Jesus, now when they open their eyes, the impossible is made possible. You have to put your faith in the words of Jesus, in the Word of God, and then believe that. And when you put your action lining up with your belief and take action upon God's Word, then you'll have what you say. But until it's just hope and off into a distant future, until it's just thoughts and nice ideas, and you aren't actually doing anything, it's not going to change your circumstances. Faith requires corresponding action. Hallelujah. You see, faith is believing God for the impossible, being the proof of things we do not see and the conviction of their reality, faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. So you might not see your healing. You might not see your new house. You might not see your new car. You might not see your spouse. You might not see your new job. You might not see any of these circumstances that we are wanting to change yet. But with the eyes of our spirit, we can see it. And when we put our faith to it, and we take action towards it, it becomes possible. Jesus said, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. So, when do we believe that we have received? Do we believe we've received it once it happens? Or now? Now, right? Because faith is now. Even though your circumstances to your senses, to your eyes, to your ears, to what you feel, to everything else in the natural world might be telling you that you're wrong, that your senses, that your confession is wrong, until you believe it in the midst of that circumstances, that God's word is true, that by his stripes I'm healed, that God desires that I prosper, that God has given me peace that passes understanding, until you're willing to believe and confess and act upon that word that he's given us, in the midst of your circumstances, it won't actually manifest itself. But if we're walking in the midst of a trial, if we're walking in the midst of sickness, and we have pain in our body, and I just, by faith, say, thank you, God, that by your stripes I have been healed. Thank you, God, that sickness and disease shall not come near my dwelling. Lord, I put my faith to action, and I'm just going to start walking by faith and doing what I couldn't do. And as our confession and our action lines up with what we're believing, and you actually have to believe it, that when I do this, that when hands are laid upon me, I will receive. And when we do that, that's how the miracle happens. Amen? Hallelujah. So we thank God that what we are hoping for is already done. You have hopes and desires, right? I hope that everybody here is actually hoping for something better than what they have. You guys might have a great, wonderful life. But God always has something better for so no matter where you find yourself, there's something more that God has for you. And until we're willing to believe and take action upon that belief, before we see it, it won't happen. Let's look at Romans chapter 4. This is one of my favorite scriptures concerning faith. Romans chapter 4 and verse 17. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations in the presence of him who believed. God who gives life to the dead. This is so key concerning God's character. God who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. Do you remember that scripture when, I think it was February when we were February we preached a series on Father God, that we're to be imitators of God. I believe it's Ephesians 5:1, that we are to imitate our God. And here, what does it say about him? That he calls those things which do not exist as though they were. Which means that you're not crazy when you're confessing healing despite your circumstances. It means you're not crazy when you're confessing prosperity though the bank account looks red. You're not crazy. You're calling those things which be not as though they were. Those things that do not exist yet as if they did. That's what faith is. You see, God actually spoke the world into existence. It doesn't say that he used all of his massive power and ability to do it. It says that he spoke. He said, "Light be and light was. Let the firmament be and the firmament was. Let man be and man was." He created everything by words, by having faith with his words. And God has created us in his image. He's given us his character. So he's given us the same ability that we can create through our faith. What we're willing to believe him for and take action upon, he's willing to give us. That's pretty exciting to me. I mean, the centurion that we just read about in Matthew chapter 8, he actually went even above and beyond what Jesus told him he would do for him. Jesus said, "I will come to your house. I'll come to your house and I'll come into that situation and I'll pray for your servant and he'll get healed." And the centurion said, "You don't even have to come to my house. I'm a man under authority. I say to this person, go and he goes. Come to this person, come and he comes. Do this to this person," and he does it. He understood the authority that he had, and he understood God's authority. So he knew that by the authority of the word of God, that all he needed was Jesus just to speak the word, and it would be done. And then Jesus said that he hadn't seen this great faith in all of Israel, which he was talking about all the Jewish people that he was surrounded with, who were the people who God delivered for thousands of years from impossible circumstances. And here this centurion, who was an outsider, not even a Jewish person from the Roman army, had greater faith than all of them. So don't think that the circumstances that you came from, the family life that you came from, determines where you're going. You might not come from a Christian family, and you might think that puts you at a disadvantage in the things of God. It absolutely doesn't. This man, this centurion, who was an outsider, had more faith than all of the Israelites that Jesus had come across. All right, let's keep going here. Verse 18, "Who contrary to hope in hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations according to what was spoken. So shall your descendants be. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body." Let me pause right there. I'm going to be talking about this next week. You see how it says there, "and not being weak in faith"? Last week I talked about how we've all been given a measure of faith, which is true. We all have faith. But here he talks about weak faith. And you remember that Jesus said to the disciples sometimes, "Oh, you of little faith." And then here when he talked about the centurion in Matthew chapter 8, he said, "Great faith." You see, though everyone has faith, not everyone has the same strength of faith. You can make your faith strong. And so next week I'm going to be speaking about how you can make your faith strong. So, "and not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body." What did he not consider? His own body, or what could we call that? The circumstance, right? He didn't consider the circumstance that he was in. Because what was his circumstance? He was old. He's like 99 years old, and God's telling him that he's going to be the descendants, that he's going to have generations of people and descendants as numerous as the sand and the sea and the stars in the sky. Man, that's impossible. So he didn't consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced, or in other words, is fully persuaded, that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. And that's what faith is. Faith is being fully persuaded that when God says he will do something, that it's already done. You see, Sarah's womb was dead. That was a fact of the situation, right? Abraham's body, he said, was dead. That also was a fact. And you in your life might have some facts stacked up against you that go contrary to what God's word says. the experience that you have might not look like the experience that we preach about here every Sunday. You might think, Pastor Jeremiah is always talking about prosperity. Pastor Jeremiah is always talking about health. He's always talking about how we can be blessed, how we can have this great life. But man, I've known so many Christians that loved God and yet they never experienced health in their life. I knew so many Christians that spent time in prayer and went to church every Sunday, and yet they never lived in abundant prosperity. So why does Pastor Jeremiah always keep preaching about that stuff? Well, it's because you can't go by your experience or your circumstances or by what any other person experiences in this world. The only thing that can move you, if you actually want to have your faith working for you, is the Word of God. What does the Word of God say that I can have? Not what does my mother say, not what does my uncle say, my grandpa, my boss. People listen to other people more than they listen to the Word of God. They might even listen to a preacher who doesn't even preach from the Bible more than they would listen to the Bible. I have talked to people that are devout in their love, in their quote love for God, that they would say they love God with all of their heart. And when I ask them certain things about why do you believe what you believe, my priest says so, my minister says so. And I'm like, yeah, but don't you see that it says this right here? And they're like, yeah, but that's not what the priest says. And I'm like, who cares about the priest? Is your priest God? Because God says that he holds his word above his name. This word, this book, Jesus was the word made flesh. So if we'll get this in us, and begin to operate on that, not on what somebody else says. That's why I preach from this book every single Sunday, because it gives life. It gives life. It is the life. And if we'll do that, then we'll begin to live life abundant. We'll begin to experience the things that we have. But as long as you go around talking about, well, so-and-so says this, and so-and-so says that, my mom said this, my brother said that, all the different circumstances, my boss, my company just fired me, so how is that prosperity? Yeah, keep talking. Keep digging your hole deeper. Why not give glory to God in the midst of your circumstance and just thank him that he has a better way for you. He has a bigger plan for you. Man, if you ever get fired, you should thank God for a bigger job that's coming your way, for a promotion coming. Put your faith in God, because when does it say that Abraham gave glory to God? It says he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. He gave glory to God before anything actually changed in his life. Before he actually had Isaac, before he had the descendants and the generations of people that were to follow him, he gave glory to God. You got to thank God by faith that you received the promise before it ever even manifests itself. Before you ever see anything that looks like it's changing in your life, you say, thank you, Jesus, that I receive now by faith. Faith is now. Now faith is. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Faith is being fully persuaded that when God says something, that it's done. Now, Abraham received a word from God that was contrary to those circumstances, a word that was impossible in the eyes of men, impossible according to doctors and to everybody else that would look at that situation. And when Abraham went around saying, yep, I'm going to have kids, people probably laughed at him and said, dude, you're 100 years old. You're dusty and crusty. How do you think that you're going to have kids? It was an impossible situation, yet he believed in the word of God more than he believed in his circumstances. And God thrives in impossible situations. He's looking to show himself strong. He wants to, so that you have a testimony that when some unbeliever comes along and says, why do you serve your God? He's weak. He doesn't even do anything. You can say, I came through this impossible situation. I was healed from this. I was delivered from that. God prospered me, so on and so forth. And God loves to show himself strong in impossible situations. He just needs somebody that is willing to not just believe, but put action to his belief. You see, Abraham had to put action to his belief in order to have the descendants that came. He knew that his body was physically in that region not producing. and he knew that Sarah's womb was dead. That's what he says in the word. That according to the natural, my body was dead and Sarah's womb was dead. But woman, get in that tent. Because I'm putting action to my faith. There was some action in the Bible. Some action in that tent. I promise you that Isaac was not miraculously conceived. They actually had to go in the tent and do the deed. Right? In impossible circumstance. There was no point in actually doing that. Some of you guys might feel like it's pointless to believe. This circumstance will never change. I've been sick since I was a kid. I've struggled with this my whole life. But if you'll put action to your belief, if you'll begin to believe God and reach out with the arm of faith and say, God, I thank you that my circumstance is changing, and you begin to walk in a new direction, God loves that. He wants to come and show himself strong. He thrives in that situation, and he will manifest his glory. He will do the miraculous. That's how God is the God of the impossible. But too many people are just waiting, hoping and praying. God, if you would just change my circumstances. He's waiting for you to do something. You can't hope yourself into salvation. You have to call upon the name of the Lord. Make him your Lord and Savior. Believe in your heart and confess him as Lord. And when you do that, you'll be saved. Amen? And that's what faith is. Faith is now, and it's believing God for the impossible and then doing something about it. Hallelujah. And when you start using your faith, like when you first become a Christian and you're just starting this faith walk, chances are you'll use your faith to get yourself out of problems. And there's nothing wrong with using your faith to get you out of a problem, out of a bad relationship, out of debt, out of sickness, and hopefully into something better. But eventually, your faith becomes stronger to where you're not just believing God to get out of trouble, but you're believing God to get into greater blessing. Faith doesn't just stop at salvation. Faith doesn't just stop at healing. Faith doesn't just stop at being out of debt. Man, you can use your faith for as much as you want. Jesus said that if you say to this mountain, be removed and thrown into the sea, that it will. I want to do that someday. There's no limit to what you can do with faith. So I'm believing God for myself to go from blessing to greater blessing. I'm not happy with just being blessed. I want more blessed. You know, Pastor Rodney, where I went to Bible school, he right now is believing God for $100 million church building on their property. And to me, man, I could potentially get angry about that. And people get angry about other people's faith all the time. You know, Pastor Rodney's church mortgage or their payment on their building, I mean, he says all this in his meetings. I'm not giving you private information. But their building, when they bought it, I believe it was like $16 million. And a payment on the monthly mortgage payment on their building that they have right now, I'm not talking about the $100 million building that they're believing to build, the payment on it is like, I think, close to $70,000. And I could get mad and be like, Pastor Rodney, please. I mean, I need a new church. And I mean, if you just gave me 2 months of your payments, I could build my own building here. And I could get mad at him and be like, man, he's my leader in the faith, and he should be helping me, and we're a river church, and he asked me to be a river church, and he's not supporting me financially. You know what? He's doing that because it's going to increase our faith in God. You see, God doesn't want my faith to be in Pastor Rodney as our source of provision. God wants my faith to be in him. And you know, Pastor Rodney used to minister in Africa when he was growing up, in his 20s, and even, I think even as he was 18. And he used to believe God to get gasoline to go from the meeting that he was at to the next church to be able to preach there. He used to believe God with faith to get food to feed his family. He used to believe God just so that he would be able to get shampoo for his wife. And if you don't believe me, listen to him preach. He'll tell you that same thing. And now he's believing God for $100 million church building. You see, you can get strong in faith, but don't get mad at someone when their faith is strong. I promise, some people are going to get mad when I pull up to the church building in a brand new BMW. And they're like, he doesn't deserve that. He's a preacher. He shouldn't drive a car like that. Why not just say, like, man, what did that guy learn to get where he's at? I want to learn how Pastor Rodney got to $100 million faith. It should inspire you to grow your faith to become stronger. Not just to get, your faith isn't meant to just get you out of jams, out of problems. You know, too many people just come to God when they have a problem. You should get out of your problems and then believe God for so much increase that you're such a blessing to everybody around you that they're like, hey, I want to be Christian. I want to know who that God is because he's actually doing something for them. Right? Or you can be like most religious people, look like you're sucking on a lemon all day, broke, busted, and disgusted, and say, like, you should be a Christian. Don't you know that sinning is bad? Like, come on. There's no blessing in that. Nobody wants that. People want to see people that look happy, people that are full of the Holy Spirit, people that are blessed, people that are walking in the promises of God. Amen? It'll give them a reason to want to get saved. So let somebody else's faith inspire you to believe God for more. I used to think Pastor Rodney was crazy for having a $16 million building. And then last January, he broke ground at his camp meeting for a $100 million building, and he said that he's going to do it by faith, meaning he's not going to the bank to get a loan. Anybody can go to the bank. I mean, you have to have good credit in certain things, and sometimes it's even faith to go and get a loan. But, I mean, the Bible says that God is going to pour us out a blessing so great that we can't contain it. The Bible says that we should lend to nations and not borrow. So that's what he's believing for, is that God's just going to supernaturally provide for him. And I'm telling you, for me in my life, I'm believing God for big things too. I'm believing God for a brand new car. I'm believing God for a brand new church building for us. You know, we need a better kids facility. We need a floor that when I walk on it, I don't feel like I'm going to fall through. I don't want to look at the mustard carpets anymore. I'm believing God for big things. And he wants to do it. But it requires action. God requires action on our part. Confessing, Lord, I thank you, even right now, by faith, that we receive a brand new church building that's going to astound people. I thank you, Lord, for providing my family with a brand new house, a brand new car. And that's not being selfish. You should thank God for those things before they even manifest themselves. Just thank them. And then put your faith to action. Go test drive a car, a brand new car. Maybe you've never sat in a brand new car. Just go get in that car and test drive it and let it build your faith and say, God, I thank you for a brand new vehicle. You see, the thing is, I could believe God, or I could say that I'm believing God for something, and then I could walk down to a dealership and I could just buy a car. But I want to have a testimony. I could do the same thing with a house. I could go and get a mortgage from a bank right now and be able to get a house. But where's the testimony in that? I want to have testimonies that are astounding for the things of God. So that means I'm going to look at houses. I haven't even started that yet. I've been saying it, but I'm going to start putting action to my faith. I've been confessing it, but now I want to put action to it. I'm going to go find the house that I want, walk around the property, and just start thanking God for it. That's what bold faith does. I mean, think about the Israelites as they walked around Jericho, walking around the city, the walls towering, impossible to get in and to destroy that, and they just walked around it, praising God. And then the seventh day, they walked around and they shouted for victory. Without even lifting a finger, the walls came crumbling down. You see, God loves to show himself strong, but he's waiting for us to actually do what his word says, to actually take God at his word, believe him for it, say, you know what, the situation, God, is absolutely impossible, but I believe you, that you're able to do what you said, and then take action upon it. If you're believing for a child like Abraham, that means get in the tent, okay? Whatever you're believing God for, you start taking action in that direction. Amen?
Thanks for listening to this message from the River Church. We hope you stay connected with us online at riverrochester.com.